The Life of Mary Southern, the dramatic story of a young widow who accepts life's challenge and goes forward into an unknown future with courage. And now, the life of Mary Southern. When Mary finally faced reality and accepted the tragic fact of her husband's death, she felt instinctively that she must break all ties with the past, that she must remain in Craig's Falls. And even the news that she had been left penniless did not shake her resolution to establish a new home and a new life for herself and her children in a strange city. Until 2 days ago, a devoted friend from Sanders, Dr. John Benson, refused to bring her children to Craig's Falls, declaring that Mary was incapable of finding a job and supporting him. But yesterday, Mary's new friends, young David Drake and Father Brady, proved their faith in Mary by overruling John's objections and by arranging to care for the twins at the neighborhood house. Mary, deeply grateful, set out with renewed self-confidence and obtained a job in a small restaurant for a week's trial. It is a little later that same day. Mrs. McPherson, the boarding house keeper, is knocking at the door of David's room. He calls out to her eagerly.
Yes, yes, coming. Is that you, Mary?
Hello, Mrs. McPherson.
Not so loud.
What?
Mary's friend, Dr. Benson, just come. Oh. Right down there in the hall.
Oh, is he here again?
Yes.
I thought he'd gone back to Sanders.
Well, I guess he's on his way. Seems to come to say goodbye to Mary.
Well, why tell me about it?
He called. He asked for you.
He asked for me?
Yeah. Says he'll talk to you as long as Mary's not here.
Oh, he will he? Well, I've got nothing to say to him.
Looking up here. Think he heard you.
Well, I hope he did.
Is that you, Drake? Could I talk to you for a minute?
Oh, there's nothing you and I can say to each other. Nothing won't end in a fight.
Well, I'm not surprised that you feel that way, Drake, but there's something I'd like to say to you, if you'll let me.
Oh, why don't you go down and talk to him, David? He sounds sort of sad today.
Yes, but it'll end in an argument. It always does. But, might as well see what he wants. Okay, Dr. Benson, I'm coming down.
Thanks. I won't keep you long.
Go in the living room, David. None of the boys are around this time of day.
Okay. Come on, Dr. Benson. We might as well go in here and sit down.
All right. I was hoping to find you home. I wanted to talk to you before Mary comes.
Now, look here, Dr. Benson. Don't you think you and I have said all there is to say about Mary?
Not quite all. First, I want to apologize to you.
To apologize?
Yes, for having been so stubborn about not wanting to bring Mary's children here.
Well, then you've changed your mind?
Well, yes and no.
Yes and no.
I've changed my mind to this extent. I'm willing to admit that it has helped Mary tremendously, having him here. She's been almost her old self again ever since she saw them.
I've never seen anyone so happy.
I still think I was right in advising against it. Because at best, it's only a temporary solution to her problem.
Oh, so you're back to that again. Mary can't get a job. She can't support her children. She'll give up after a few weeks and go back to Sanders. Well, you're wrong, Dr. Benson. I know you're wrong.
Please, Mr. Drake, I didn't intend to say that. I didn't come here to argue or fight with you. I am in no mood for argument today. I'm leaving for Sanders tonight. I came to say goodbye to Mary, to ask you to take good care of her.
Oh, I see. Well, I will, Doctor. I promise I will. You know, Mary means a great deal to me, and I know what she means to you, too.
As long as I'm being honest, I might as well admit you've helped her more than I have.
Well, I was able to help her only because I reminded her of her husband. But you have nothing to worry about, Doctor. Mary is not in love with me.
I'm not so sure about that. But I guess Mary has too many problems right now to think about love or marriage.
She's not going to think of anything but supporting those children. Well, I'd give anything in the world if I could help her.
So would I, but she's too proud to accept help. Well, it's going to be torture for me going back to Sanders and thinking of Mary trying to find work and coming home at night worn out and discouraged.
David, where are
Mary.
Hey, it's Mary. She sounds excited.
I'm here, Mary, in the living room. Come on in.
Oh, the most wonderful things happened.
For you?
Oh, John, I'm glad you're here. Now I can tell you both the good news.
Good news?
Well, what is it, Mary? What is it?
I found a job.
Found a job?
Uh-huh.
Well, congratulations.
Now, where is it, Mary?
When do you start?
Now, wait a minute. Don't both of you ask questions at once. Wait till I catch my breath.
Sure. Here, sit down. Sit down. Take off your coat.
Thank you.
But don't keep us in suspense. We don't hear news like this every day, you know.
I hope it won't be too strenuous. You're not going to scrub floors.
Oh, goodness knows what I'll do before I'm through.
But what's your job, Mary?
Well, as far as I can tell, I'll be general efficiency expert. Cashier, waitress, cook, and general handyman.
Waitress? Cook? It's a job in a restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when do you start work?
Tomorrow morning. And let me tell you about my new boss. He has dyspepsia from eating the terrible food he serves in his own restaurant.
Terrible food? Say, what sort of a place
and
is this?
And he growls at everybody and chews soda mint tablets all day for his indigestion. And he's a woman hater in the bargain.
But you won't be happy working for a man like that.
Oh, he's not as bad as he sounds, John. I think we'll get along marvelously together once he gets used to the idea of having a woman around.
But why did he engage you if he doesn't like women?
Salesmanship, John. What? I just made up my mind I wouldn't take no for an answer. I woke up this morning feeling so happy and so sure that something nice would happen today, so I made it happen. And I got the job.
Well, good for you.
But I don't understand. You say you're not sure what your work will be?
Well, I promised I'd improve the food and the appearance of the restaurant and attract new customers. And I'm going to do it, too.
But, Mary, what do you know about managing a restaurant?
Well, I know the difference between good food and bad.
Yeah, well, I don't like to say anything about it, Mary, but you mind my asking what salary you're going to get? Or would you rather not tell us?
Well, I suppose I might as well tell you.
Yes?
I'm not going to get any salary at first.
What?
You've taken a job at no salary?
No salary?
No salary, just my meal. And if you must know the whole truth, I haven't been hired permanently yet. I'll be on trial for a week.
Oh, well, that's different.
Yes, quite different.
Yes.
A week's trial at no salary. But how can you expect to show results in a week?
Well, if you'd ever seen that restaurant, John, or tasted the food, you'd know how easy it'll be and how much fun. It's not in a very good neighborhood.
Say, wait a minute, Mary. Where is this restaurant?
Well, you'll never guess, David. It's our little restaurant.
What?
Remember?
Not that cheap little place down by the river. The place we went to get out of the snow that night I met you?
Mm-hmm. What? I don't know why I didn't think of going there before.
Oh.
It has loads of possibilities, and it can be a very attractive place with just a little work.
Now, Mary, wait a minute. You can't work there.
What sort of place is it, Frank?
Hey, it's down near the waterfront. The worst neighborhood in town. It's always full of waterfront bums.
Well, that's not true. All sorts of honest, decent workmen are in that neighborhood. Laborers, truck drivers.
Now, Drake's right. You can't work in a place like that.
No.
Well, I'm going to start work tomorrow.
Mary, you've got to listen to me. What? I've never liked the looks of that proprietor of the place.
Mr. Barker? Oh, he's perfectly all right, except for his dyspepsia.
Mm.
That's why he growls at everyone. That manner's just bluff, though.
Oh, you can't take this job, Mary. Why, you're not even getting a salary, so you won't be losing anything.
Mr. Barker's the first person who's had confidence enough in me to give me a chance to work, and I'm going to take it.
But Drake says this Barker is not to be trusted.
I'm the one who's taking this job, and I'll have to use my own judgment about it. My judgment's bad. Well, time I found out about it from experience.
We're only trying to save you from a bitter experience, Mary. You must listen to me.
Sorry, I'm not going to stay here and listen and let you discourage me. I'm going to find Mrs. McPherson. Maybe she'll be more sympathetic. Besides, I've dozens of questions to ask her about restaurants.
But, Mary, now, wait a minute. There'll be plenty of other jobs.
No, Mr. David, I have a job. And something tells me it's going to develop into a good one. See you later after I talk to Mrs. McPherson.
Is this restaurant really as bad as you say, Drake?
Oh, it's worse. A typical greasy spoon.
But this settles it. I'm not leaving for Sanders tonight. I'm going to stay till I've investigated this restaurant and Mary's new employer.
Well, I'm with you on that, Dr. Benson. Mary's not going to spend a day in that place if there's anything I can do to prevent it.
This is a curious turn of events. These rivals for Mary's affection, David and John Benson, are united in the common cause, their emphatic belief that Mary must be prevented from taking this job. Now, Mary has given her friends new cause for worry. John Benson's disapproval is understandable, since he is opposed on general principles to the idea of Mary's working anywhere. But David, usually so sympathetic, has been even more outspoken than John in his disapproval. And he knows the little restaurant and its proprietor. Has he a serious reason for his distrust of Ned Barker? Apparently, Mary is determined to take the job. Will she regret it? You won't want to miss tomorrow's dramatic chapter in the life of Mary Southern.